welcome to Heartbeat. Today, I'm actually going to pose a bit of a topic that people ask me. I'm sure you've asked it at times, but it's only going to be part of the discussion. There's going to be another part next week. And the question is, how can I help? So many people over the years have asked me, just even in just the little bits that we do in our ministry, how can I help? I've heard it when I've been at the children's tuck shop, and there's times when, you know, it's food time for the children or for staff or whatever you're doing, and people come up and say, how can I help? I know at family gatherings, and you might be hosting the gathering at your place, but then all the family or the different people come up and say, how can I help? Because we all have within us this wanting to help in whatever way we can. Now, we can help people by praying. If we think about it, it doesn't even have to be a Christian ministry, just in life in general. We can't always be there, but we can pray for the needs of people. We can pray for help. We can pray for help for ourselves, because we ask our God, because everything basically comes from Him. We can love. Sometimes it's a smile, it's a hug, it's a welcoming, it's a pulling out a chair, it's being respectful and honourable to people, no matter whatever age, whatever creed, whatever culture they come from. All of that can help people. If we study the Word of God, we understand more how we can help in regards to Christian attitude, Christian thoughts, Christian living, Christian action, how we should live. God has also given everybody on earth different gifts and abilities. So how can we help? Maybe we need to understand our gifts and our abilities more. And it's actually being humble to know, I'm good at that. I'm not very good at that. I love it. I have a daughter. I actually have two daughters who say to me, nah, not interested in cooking. Just, I taught them the same things. I have four daughters. I taught them all the same things. I was with them when they were younger, and we'd do recipes and we'd make cakes. And, you know, you start off with cupcakes and all simple little things. And then you build up to, you know, actual big meals. But two of them, it just didn't interest them. And they're happy to say, nah, don't enjoy cooking. The other two love it and experiment and are so good at what they do. Different gifting, different interests, different abilities. The two that don't like cooking can still do it, but they won't put up their hand and say, I'll help you do cooking. They will, of course, perform their generous hearts, but they know the ability that they have isn't as good as the people who are really good cooks. I remember a story that Padre Pio wrote in one of his books. Saint Padre Pio, was this Capuchin monk who had a heart for God and a heart for people. He just loved his God and he loved people. And he loved them so much that where he was actually placed and positioned was in Italy, in San Giovanni Rotunda, in this little town. I've actually been there. It's amazing. And you know why it's amazing? Because it's this little rocky town set up on, it's not a rocky town, it's a town on a rocky hill set up in the middle of nowhere. When we went to Italy, I did research, but we had to catch a train to Foggia. Then we had to catch a bus to San Giovanni, and there's only one bus. No, there's probably four or five buses that go there every day, but it just goes there, does the circuit, and then comes back to the station, picks up more people, then goes back around. But from Italy, Rome itself, it took 4.5 hours to get there. And I just wanted to go. And as we're on the train, and you go so fast, you don't see much, but you go through vineyards and you go through the beautiful farming regions, and it's really beautiful. And then you come to Foggia, and you hop on the bus and you go to nowhere. It's desolate. It's rocky. You may see a few people. You may see a few sheep. And it goes up and up and up the mountain. And there was where Padre Pio was placed, in this little monastery. It's quite big now. They've built a beautiful, beautiful shrine, big church. But there's this little monastery that's still there. And he cared for people so much. At the time when he was alive, it was through World War II. He saw the destitution of the people. He saw the farmers just living from day to day. No different to many places in the world today. And he wanted to care for those who could not afford to go to the hospitals. Because where they were, think about it, we caught a train and then we caught a bus and it took us 4 hours or more to get there. Imagine back then when there wouldn't have been the fast trains, there wouldn't have been the buses, there would have been what? Horse and cart? Walking? Whatever other means people did to get to places. And there were so many that couldn't get to the hospitals. And he decided that he wanted to build a hospital. Now stay with me because I'm going somewhere. And he went and had plans and had started just with this small little room, but he wanted to build this big hospital. And it was on his heart, and he felt like God wanted him to build this big hospital, let alone all the other wonderful things that he did for people in praying for them and confessions and mass and just amazing things that this saint did. And he went to this doctor. He'd met this doctor and he just really felt like this was the one. He went to this doctor and he said, "I want you to be the head doctor in this hospital, and I want you to employ the doctors, the nurses, the orderlies, like all the cooks, all the people that we will need for this hospital." Now the doctor was like, "Oh my goodness, do you know what you're wanting to do?" Padre Pio said, "Yeah." He says, "I can't do this. I can't raise the money. I can't build the buildings. I can't." And Padre Pio stopped and said, no. "You go be the doctor. You go employ more people to help with the health of people. I will do the fundraising. I will get people to do the building. So your help is in your field. Leave it to me to find the help in the other areas." And this doctor was like, oh, I could do that. Sometimes we get confused when we say, "Can I help?" Yes, we have a general, "Can I help? I can put out a chair, or I can put out food," you know, different things like that. But we've got to know what we can do and can't do. That's why I love it when my two daughters say, we're doing a family gathering and we're cooking food. They go, "Oh, I'll bring drinks because I can bring drinks." They don't even say I'm not saying they don't try to cook things, but they know that the good cooks will bring the wonderful dishes for the whole family to share. When you say, "Can I help?" you've got to know what your gifts and abilities are so that you can help, so that someone else can come and use their help, someone else can come and use their gift and ability. This doctor knew he couldn't do the fundraising, he'd fall flat on his face, but he could be the doctor. And I read it and thought, yeah, what is my gifts? What are my abilities? How can I help? Maybe you're a scientist. Maybe you do research. Maybe you're one of the scientists who has done the COVID vaccine, or you're the people who work in the labs. Oh my goodness, how much are you helping the world? Maybe you're an environmentalist and you're trying to make sure that our environment stays healthy, that our oceans and our planet, the land and the planet and everything is going to have food. That people have developed in countries where you don't get fungus growing on the wheat, so that the wheat can stay healthy and nourishment for the people who live in that area, who live in the world. Don't think it's always got to be about and it can be because it's part of your life of preaching God and being in ministry. But being in ministry, God might place you to be ministry where you are, ministers where you are, in your workplace, as researchers, trusting in God, worshiping God, loving God where you are. Not necessarily preaching in a pulpit, but preaching by who you are, how you live, how you act, how you help people. Because people will always then come and ask and say, why are you so patient? Why are you always so uplifting and happy? Why is there joy within you? And you can tell them why. Because it is the Lord within me. Maybe you're a mother or a father. We need great mothers and fathers to teach their children, to teach the younger generation. Maybe you have a mothering spirit and you've never actually been a mother by having a baby, but your babies are babies rejected. Maybe you foster. Maybe where you are in your workplace, you're the mother there and you care. Maybe you're a priest, a pastor, and you're ordained, a deacon. And God has placed within you preaching, pastoral care, administration, teaching, whatever it is. That's where you're helping. Maybe you're a cleaner. We all need cleaners. Oh my goodness, look at the world. If we didn't have the cleaners to clean the hospitals and the beds and all the wards and, you know, not just at the hospital, but think about that. We'd have way more people with infections. If we didn't have those who cook food, those who wash clothes, those who love in whatever way God has placed within you using your gifts and abilities. Maybe you're a driver and you drive people. Maybe you're a listener. So many people need listening ears. They want to share. They've got no one. You listen. You care by listening. You care by hugging, loving people. Maybe you're someone with wealth and can give away to others. Look at the people who are so wealthy and the charities they give to. Where would these charities be if people didn't give? But not just the wealthy. Think of the story of the woman who gave her coins, all her coins, to the poor. Sounded like she was poor herself, but she gave them all so that the church could use them for those in need. We all are asked to help even a little bit financially to those in need. Where would any of the charities be? Where would the guide dogs be? Where would the people who are raising money for cancer? Where would be the people who are raising money for the wells in the third world countries so that people have got fresh water? Where would any of them be if we did not give some of our wealth to those charities? And there is so many. God wants us to help. Live the life God has assigned to you. And if you don't know, go seek it out. Go ask, go question, go write down, what am I supposed to be doing in my life? Live the life God has assigned for you. And sometimes the way you do it is you write down your passions. Because if you're passionate about it, you'll go seek it out. Even if you don't know much about it, you'll go do research. You'll go, you know, stay up late. You'll go check out stuff because you're passionate about it. It pushes all your buttons. It makes you get up in the morning with a smile on your face. Yes. Then go do that. Where have I been placed? Where has God placed me? Right now, because circumstances change. I remember when I was a mother with five little children, God has placed me to be a mother. Now, I still went and worked part-time because I desired to reach and care for people, and in my area of field was caring for people, was a pharmacist. I was listening to people. Yes, there was drugs and health and other stuff, but the main area that I loved was being a listener, so I could help the whole person in their health. So much they shared was just me loving them. Yes, I talked about, well, you know, make sure that you're taking your arthritis medication and this is helping your heart. But I was truly helping them within, in their spiritual hearts. But I was a mother. I was placed where I was as a mother. I had a responsibility to my 5 children. Where has God placed you? Don't throw away the responsibilities God often puts on your shoulders because of where you're placed. Are you in charge of something? Or are you the lowest rung of the lowest rung? If you are, God's placed you there for a purpose, for a reason. What gifts do I have? What does God say to me? Ask Him. What does God say to me? I remember there was a story of this lady. She's 80 years of age. She's been a mother, a grandmother. Her husband has died and she's home by herself. And she thought, what have I got? I don't know how many years I've got left in me. Lord, what should I do? And God placed on her heart to write to prisoners. And so she started writing to prisoners and sharing her wisdom that she had learnt over the years. And she always signed her letter as grandmother, whatever her name was. One day there was a knock at her door. Now, I don't know how this person found her, whether or not as she started sharing correspondence with some of the prisoners that she became more open and shared where she lived, but there was a knock on the door. And it was this young boy. And he said, I'll just call her Grandmother Nina. Grandmother Nina? She goes, yes. He said, I'm Joseph. You wrote to me when I was in prison, and I've just come to see what my grandmother looks like. When you hear of his story, he never had a grandmother. He never had a grandmother that loved him and shared wisdom with him and cared about him and listened to him. And this woman in her 80s became his grandmother. God used her. Where was she placed? What did she say? Ask God. God, use me. And God placed her in a place to be used. Because she had the gift of love. And she shared it in letters to those in prison. How many more other young men and women did she become a grandmother to? So, what are your gifts? How can I use those to help people? And you might have some answers, but you might have to ask God to help you. Sometimes they're prominent in your listing, but sometimes they're not. Maybe God in your prayer will show you something that you've never seen before and think, oh, never thought of that. Yeah, I could do that. So I want you to pray about it. Naturally go and write down a list. What am I passionate about? What do I see that I could do? What have I learnt? Then ask God, what do you want me to do? What can I help with? And then we're going to go to the next part. I'm going to share with you ways you can find your spiritual gifts so that God can use them to help you and to help others for the purpose that you have been placed on the earth for. And let's pray about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, you put within all of us a sensation, a feeling, a spiritual thing of helping people. It's this impulse within us. Guide us. What are our passions? What are our gifts? How can I help where I am placed right now in today's world? Guide us, show us by any means that you want to show us, in word, in scripture, by people's thoughts, by people sharing, by our thoughts. And we trust that you will do this for us, Lord, because we want to help. We want to help people. We want to help you. And you've asked us to come and help because you've said I'm choosing people. Well, Lord, we're putting up our hand. Grace us with how. How can I help? In this we pray.